That's how we're going to get rich. 936 Jerry Bader Show. When we were taking up Death Wish last week, someone I thought made an excellent point. And that is the larger issue is the lack of creativity in Hollywood these days. They take a big hit movie and they remake it. You know what's a genre I would like to start if I was a movie maker, and I'm not? So if you're even, if you know someone who knows someone who's in the movie industry, here's what you do. Take good concepts that were executed badly and remake the movie. In other words, take a bomb, but if you think the concept was good but the execution was poor, remake it. Call it the do-over genre. I'm on to something here. And because most of those movies weren't seen by many people, again, though, you have to be, you'd have to convince a studio. See, now, Waterworld is a perfect example of what I'm not talking about. That's well done, Earl. That would be exactly what I'm not talking about here. The example I gave to Earl was Under the Rainbow. I think it was Chevy Chase who was responsible for managing the little people during the production of Wizard of Oz. I think it's a great concept. I remember a movie about a teenage vampire that actually I don't think it should be. Yeah, it was Chevy Chase. I don't think it should be one star. But it could be done even better. So I'm just the do-over genre. Take movies that you thought should have been good, but they just screwed it up. But the concept was sound. Here's another one. It's this hokey 1989 movie with Cheryl Ladd and Kris Kristofferson, Millennium. They're time travelers who pluck people from airplanes that are about to crash. Just, even if you've never seen it, doesn't that concept sound great? The movie stinks. Well, one, it looks very low budget. Kris Kristofferson, great singer, nice man, couldn't act his way out of a wet paper bag. And Cheryl Ladd, not a great actress either. But I'm telling you, I'm on to something here. If Hollywood does feel that it has to bastardize or retake old movies, take bad ones that could have been good ones and make them good this time, rather than take a big hit movie and play off its name and then disappoint everyone. Those who go see it because they remember the original and those who don't remember the original, it just doesn't work out. Sometimes it does, but often it doesn't. All right, off my movie soapbox. Oh, by the way, I do have to mention this. A loyal listener in Eau Claire, Joe, emailed. Whenever I don't manage the show clock here well, I refer to it as Mike Sherman-type clock management. And Joe says, Mike Sherman clock time management, eventually forgivable. Ray Rhodes clock management, never forgivable. Well, there's no racial element. It's not reverse discrimination here. Ray Rhodes was only here one season. Mike Sherman was here long enough that he established bad clock management as a brand. That is what I remember about him. That, and like most coaches, his waistline expanded with each year he was in Wisconsin. Until he wore this thing that looked like a muumuu. It looked like this bowling shirt. It was bad. Not that I should sit there and criticize a coach's attire, but just saying, it's on TV and you do remember those things. He was there long enough, so that's the brand that I borrow when I'm guilty of rotten time management. So as not to be guilty of Mike Sherman-type clock management, on to our next topic. And by the way, I want to get to a couple of things later in the show. I want to get to the Trump immigration plan, why I don't agree with all of it. And I also want to get to Jeff Flake. And let me just leave it at that for now. I want to start here, though. This is not new, but for whatever reason, it was reported again. It was reported back in May. It was reported back in January. This may surprise you. It doesn't surprise me. And I think it depends on your term of the definition of the term as to whether it surprises you. Loneliness is a bigger health problem than obesity, and it's getting worse. But here's the thing. When you think of loneliness, historically, how have we defined that as a society? Someone who hasn't found a significant other, right? For the most part, you don't have companionship in your life. I think this runs much deeper than that. I think this deals with the isolationism that is coming from the online world, where people just have literally isolated themselves, and they think tweeting and Facebook posting is communicating. It is, but it isn't. It isn't interpersonal communication. But we're moving in a direction with, you know, people 18 to 40 now, were most of them were born into that world. More online than in person. I believe that's the problem here. Research presented at the recent American Psychological Association convention details the impact of social isolation and how it is expected to cast a longer, darker shadow over society. Being connected to others socially is widely considered a fundamental human need, crucial to both well-being and survival. Yet, an increasing portion of the U.S. is isolating themselves. More than 42 million Americans aged over 45. Now this, so I want to start here. This goes counter to what I was saying. The demographic they're dealing with, a 45 plus, are believed to experience chronic loneliness, while the number of people who live alone and are unmarried continues to rise. Now, lack of companionship certainly is a factor here. More and more people are not getting married. A lot of people in their 30s and 40s, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, 20, 30 years ago that would have been married are not. And that's a big factor here. These trends suggest that Americans are becoming less socially connected and experiencing more loneliness, according to the researcher, Holt Lundstedt. Don't see the first name here. Got cut off on my copy. Holt Lundstedt cited extreme examples of the impact of loneliness, including infants who fail to thrive and often die when deprived of human contact, and how social isolation and solitary confinement are both used as forms of punishment. It's been extremely controversial. There is a move right now to have solitary confinement considered inhuman. I'm conflicted on that. In the long term, in other words, the rest of your life in solitary, I think you can make the case for that. In terms of short-term corrective punishment, I'm not so sure. You need humane treatment. On the other hand, prison is punishment. She presented studies that suggested greater social connectedness reduces the risk of early death by half, 50%. While social isolation, loneliness, or living alone significantly increase the risk to at least the same level as obesity. There is robust evidence that social isolation and loneliness significantly increase risk for premature mortality, and the magnitude of the risk exceeds that of many leading health indicators. Certainly obesity would be one of those. With an increasing aging population, the effect on public health is only anticipated to increase. Indeed, many nations around the world now suggest we are facing a loneliness epidemic. That epidemic is as much of a blight on Australians as it is on Americans, according to local research, which suggests we feel more isolated than ever, even if we're surrounded by people. That's an old expression. There can be no lonelier place than a crowd, which is true. If you're not interacting with anybody, and the rest of the crowd is. Let me throw some of my own psychobabble on top of this. The problem with Facebook and Twitter and those who are isolating themselves, the more they isolate themselves, the less capable they are of being comfortable around other people. So they isolate themselves even more. It becomes a vicious cycle or circle, whichever you prefer. And that's where I think this is a growing problem. There are people who feel comfortable alone, but not even realizing how it's impacting them psychologically. Human beings need companionship, be it romantic, be it just friendship, be it interaction. I heard a quote from a priest once who was asked about the vow of celibacy. And he said it was the inability to marry, at least for him, was less about sexuality than it was having someone when you come home to discuss the latest book you read. And if you think about that, and I think about, where my personal marriage is right now, we've grown that in the last year or so. How was your day? Oh, fine. No, we tell each other about our day. And we share each other's lives. Even if you're not married, you need interaction. And I think the real danger here is people are becoming more convinced they don't need interaction. And the more you consider Facebook and Twitter and other social media interaction, the more isolated and less capable of interacting with others for real you become. And I think it's a real danger. Those of you listening on WTAQ, I-41 southbound on Mid Valley Golf Course, very slow. Don't know why, Harold. Don't know if there's an accident. You just got a big old red blot on the map there, and that's all you need to know. So I-41 southbound on Mid Valley Golf Course, those of you in the Green Bay area. I actually think it's both an interesting and important topic. But we'll get on to other things in 3 minutes. Still plenty to get to. 9:49.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.